Begin the current daf. Masech the school and daf kuf tes vav. Begin on the bottom of kuf yedalem and beis. Second line up on the bottom of the amud, where the gemara continues the source of the iser achila and hana of bas mechal. And that is the Torah says three times lo savash la gedi bechalev imay. Don't cook a kid in its mother's milk, which we had been learning gedi, which says a few times this word tells you all types of animals. And also what it excludes, b'chalev imay says a few times, including all types of milk, but all it says is savashal, it says regarding cooking. How do we know that there's a prohibition of eating and of having benefit? So that Rav Ashi, it said, we know because there's a pasuk that says, lo yiseichel kol te'eva, don't eat anything that's an abomination that the Torah says to stay away from. Torah says, don't cook it, therefore it's a te'eva, therefore there's an isra of eating it. And how do you know there's isra of hana? So he brought the halacha of Rav Avoh, which tells you anytime the Torah says don't eat, it includes also having benefit, as we find by Nevela, where the Torah only says not to eat, yet it has to tell you that's permitted to have benefit, obviously, because even just not eating it is already including that the prohibition of having benefit. Now, in this teaching of Rav Ashi, the Gemara asks Simon and the Manik for the following laws that are difficult to Rav Ashi, Shabbos, the Isra of doing Malach on Shabbos, Chayrish, plowing, V'klai Zroim, and regarding forbidden mixtures of seeds, of planting, Eisav Es Benoi, slaughtering a mother and a child on the same day, B'Shaluch HaKen, and also regarding the prohibition of sending away the mother before taking the child. Now, ask the Gemara, Elamiyata, but if Rav Ashi is correct, at any time something that the Torah says to stay away from, that there's a prohibition related to it, then it's prohibited to eat it, as he says regarding Basa B'chalav. So then as a continued type of Kaftez Vav Med Aleph, so Maisa Shabbos, doing a forbidden act on Shabbos, like for example, cooking on Shabbos, Litzeru, it should be forbidden for every Jew to eat that food that was cooked on Shabbos. The Hoti Avti Lachu, because that's in the category of something that I warned you, and I made it distant from you, and an abomination. Because one's not allowed to do that malach of cooking on Shabbos. And yet, in spite of that, a Mishnah tells us that if someone cooked deliberately on Shabbos, he can't eat, only because of a penalty. But others could eat, as we learned in the first paragraph of Tezvav Merav. Why? It should be forbidden to eat, because it's ta'aftilach. Says the Gemara, Amakur, no, there it's different, because the Pasuk says in Shemais, when it talks about Ushmartim es HaShabbos, you should safeguard the Shabbos, it says, Ki kaidish hi lochem, because it is holy for you. What's it is holy? He kodesh is telling us that the Shabbos is holy, ve'in maser kodesh, but the activities done on it is not considered sanctified as it's prohibited. Rather, it's like mundane in the sense that if a maser Shabbos is done, one is permitted to eat from it. So the Torah is explicitly excluding it. So the Gemara continues and asks, okay, but chayrish b'shur b'chamar, when one plows with a forbidden mixture of two different animals, like an ox and a donkey, or a different prohibition, b'chaysin pi parva dashba, if someone muzzles the mouth of the cow as he's threshing with it, which is Issa in the Torah, in those two cases, litzru, the seeds and the plowed field should both be forbidden to consume those produce, d'oti aftilachu, because those are things that the Torah made an abomination, and made a distance, it said that you're not allowed to do these activities, and therefore, the product, And that's what the Gemara's question when it says they should be forbidden. It means to say they should be forbidden to have eating because it's called Shotei Avdilach. And then by default, as we said, should have a prohibition of having benefit from it. Why are you allowed to eat those produce that you plowed in a forbidden mixture or had when the animal was muzzled? Says the Gemara, no. Hashta, if we find, as we said in the previous Gemara's answer, Uma Shabbos tachamir, if regarding Shabbos, which is very severe, the chil of Shabbos. Maisel mutarim, and still the activities of malacha done at Shabbos are permitted, as we brought a source from the pasuk, hi kodesh v'maseh kodesh, sahani l'koshkin. So these prohibitions of plowing with forbidden mixture of animals or muzzling an animal when you're threshing, isn't it a kabul chaymer that its activities are not going to be forbidden? Now, however, that does not contradict Rav Ashi, but regarding Basa B'chalav, we don't say this Kavol Chaim, because the Torah says, Lo Yiseichel, don't eat it, whatever I had made an abomination for you. Now, it's logical to say that the prohibition of that Pasuk is actually going on Basa B'chalav, because there one is eating the actual abomination itself, the Basa B'chalav. But in these cases that the Gemara is asking from, he's not eating the plowed field itself, rather what is coming from that plowed field. And so too, when someone is muzzling an animal and then threshing with it, it's not the muzzling itself that he's eating, rather the activity, the product that's coming from that, and that's what we learn from Shabbos, that something that comes from the Isra of Shabbos, but not the Isra of Shabbos itself, that's not sanctified, that's not forbidden, as if it's Kodesh, and therefore those are excluded from this halacha of Kol Shetei Avdilach, and therefore one is permitted to eat those things. But the Gemara continues asking, Kalai Zroam Litzru, the forbidden mixture of different seeds, which each seed has to be planted separately, that's a prohibition in the Torah, those product that grows from that should be forbidden to eat and have benefit. That's something that, and here it's different than the previous cases, it's similar to the case of Basal B'chalim, where it itself is the forbidden thing, and it itself is the te'eva, and it should be forbidden to be eaten and have benefit. So the Gemara, no, because from the fact that the Torah reveals to you regarding a similar issur, that of a forbidden mixture of a vineyard with other seeds, the Pasuk says in Devarim, that don't plant other seeds in your vineyard, pen tiktush, that it might be sanctified in a prohibited way. But the way the word tiktush is read is pentukat esh, and maybe you're going to have to burn it in the fire, which tells us that there's an isra of hana by klai hakerem, machlal the klai zram shor. The inference is that that's only by klai hakerem, which is more severe. But if it's been a mixture of other seeds, not of a vineyard, that there it's permitted. But the Gemara asks, why? The Amos say, Klai Kerem, maybe say that the exclusion is only that, yeah, because a forbidden mixture of seeds in the vineyard, Asurin Bema Achila Bema Na, it's telling you it's forbidden to eat it and to even have benefit, like it says you have to burn it in the fire. But maybe the exclusion is Klai Zraim, maybe it's still Bachila Asiri, maybe eating it's still forbidden, and the reason why we'd say it's forbidden because we would include it in Kol Shita Avtiloch, and it's only Bahana Shari, maybe it's only excluding it from benefit, you don't have to burn it, but maybe it's still forbidden to be eaten. Says the Gemara, no, because iskish leklai behema. Klai Zeroim, a forbidden mixture of different seeds, is compared to a forbidden mixture of animals. Because the Chsiv, the Pasuk says in V'yikra, behem tuchol loisar bia klaim, your animals, you should not mate them in a forbidden mixture. Different types of animals cannot be mating together. And the Pasuk says, satcha leisar klaim, in your field, you should not plant forbidden mixtures. Which the comparison of the two halachas teaches us, ma behem tuchol, just like you animals, hayyitim imen mutaris, the product that does come out of that forbidden mixture is permitted. So af satzkel, so too your field, hayyitim imen mutar, what comes out is permitted, and therefore there's no iser at all of hana or even achila on that product of klai zeroim. But ask the Gemara of klai behema gufay manol, and how do we know, you're comparing it to klai behema, how do we know the forbidden mixture of animals that the product is permitted? Says the Gemara, from the fact that the Torah has to tell you that a product of a forbidden mixture is forbidden to be used as a carbon for Hashem, as the Brisa teaches that it says in the Pasuk regarding Karbanos Shor Kesav Eiz, which has to be specifically that species, but forbid it's making forbidden a mixed breed, a forbidden mixture, as the Gemara says in Daf Lamed Ches Mabez, Machlav Lehed Yeshari, the inference is that for a commoner it is going to be permitted, and therefore that's being excluded from the prohibition of Kol Shati Avtilach to say that it's forbidden to eat it. But the Gemara contains a different question. Eisev Es B'nai Litzer, slaughtering an animal at the same day as its child, which is something that the Torah made te'eva, made forbidden, made a distance from you. So when one does that, it should be forbidden to go ahead and consume the slaughtered animals. Says the Gemara, no, from the fact that the Torah had to tell you something that's lacking its designated time yet, for Hashem, where one's not allowed to bring a carbon, let's say before 8 days old, there's certain limitations. The inference is that Mechuzas man for a commoner is permitted. And the whole halach of Eisev Es B'nai is only Mechuzas man, because you're allowed to slaughter the mother today and the child tomorrow. The only problem is it's lacking the time of being able to do it yet. Obviously, that Issa Mechuzas man is only for Gevaya, for the most stringent area of Hekdesh, but yet permitted for that of a commoner. But the Gemara still asks, Shaluch HaKein Litzer. The halach of, for example, let's say someone, he took the mother off of the children and he came in front of us. So the halacha is, we require him to send away the mother. As the Mishnah teaches later in the Kuf Memalv and Menalv, that if, let's say, he's going to subsequently send away the mother, so although you have to first send away the mother, then to take the babies, and he didn't. So if he subsequently sends away the mother, he's not going to get lashes. On that, the Gemara's question is, then that mother should be forbidden to be consumed forever because a sin was done with that mother, so that should be called Shatei Avtilach, it should be forbidden to eat. Says the Gemara, no, because Lo Amr Torah Shaleich L'Takala. Torah is not telling you send away the mother, which is then going to be a stumbling block. Because, as we said, here the Torah says send her away. It says in the Pasuk, interesting order, it says L'Tikachem, don't take the mother when she's on the children. And then it says Shaleich T'Shaleich, send her away. Which comes to tell us that if you did take the mother, then the halach is you have to still subsequently send her away. Now the problem is, if it'd be forbidden, because you did it the wrong way, you didn't just first send away the mother, then take the children, you took her and the children, then the Torah wouldn't tell you to send her away, which is then going to be a stumbling block. Whoever finds that mother bird and is going to slaughter and eat it is going to be violating that issa of eating that forbidden mother. Now, the truth is, the Gemara could have also said regarding all these cases that we're describing over here, that just like Shabbos that's stringent and still the product is permitted, and so too all these things also should not be difficult. But as Rashi says, that whenever you can find an answer in the context of the halacha itself, what they were discussing, like b'shelo chakein, so we don't learn it out from another context like that of Shabbos. But Rashi brings actually a different interpretation, which he prefers, that the Gemara's question that shelo chakein should be forbidden is every time you send away the mother should be forbidden forever, even if you send her away. Why? Because that's called shati avtilach. Whatever I made an abomination for you, which is the mother is an abomination. If you want to take the children, you got to send her away. So then the mother should always be forbidden in Baal Teichel. Because that moment, when you wanted the children, the mother was forbidden that moment. And Rashi liked this interpretation because Rav Ashi wasn't saying that whatever you did a sin with, but in the beginning it was permitted, that then it should be forbidden. Because if that would be what his concept was, then when one is plowing with a shor and the chamor together, or mating forbidden mixtures, or muzzling an animal when it's working, then the animals should be forbidden. And we never ask from the animals, we only ask from the product regarding what was derived from them. Obviously, it's not regarding the sin, as how we said in the first interpretation, when you did it the wrong way. No, the Gemara's question was, every Shiluach HaKein, the mother should be forbidden forever. And that's what the Gemara says, no, it's not possible that Torah would tell you to do something which would make a prohibited item around there in the world, and then cause another person who's going to eat that animal as a stumbling block. So the Gemara resolved all the questions that it had in Rav Ashi's interpretation of where do you know the halacha of Isser Echila and Hanah and Bas Bachal. Now the Gemara continues with different interpretations and sources for the Isser of Achila and Anah of Basa B'chalav. So Amar Shlakish, he says, Minayin L'Basa B'chalav Shas, he says, how do you know that a forbidden mixture of meat and milk is forbidden? Which means, meaning for eating and benefit, Bishul the Torah says explicitly. So he says, Tamalim, because the Pasuk says in Shemais, regarding the Karban Pesach, it says, Al Teichlu Mimenu Na U'Bashal Mavoshal. You're not allowed to eat from it partially cooked and totally cooked. It has to be roasted. Now, Shein Tamalim Mavushal, the second terminology of Mavushal is seemingly unnecessary because it already says Ubashal. Mat Tamalim Mavushal, so what is the extra terminology of the prohibition of something being cooked coming to teach? Loim Lucha, to tell you, Yeshlucha Bishal Achashu Gazet, that there's something else, that its cooking is like this, where it would be forbidden to eat it when it's cooked. Vezen, what's that Doma? Ze Basam Chalv, that's the allusion to Basam Chalv, to tell you that that's forbidden to be eaten when they're cooked together. However, on this interpretation of Rish Lakish, Amalei Rabbi Yechim said to him as he continued to Medbeis, Ka'ura Zu Shoshana Rebbe? In other words, is it repulsive in your eyes, the Mishnah that Rebbe had already taught, and he already taught the source of the Isser Bas B'chalav from a different Pasuk, and you're coming to bring a different source? We have a Braisa that Rebbe already says the source. The Pasuk says in Devarim, Lo Tachalenu, you shouldn't eat it. Now, these words are seemingly superfluous because this pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, in the context of Psuli HaMakdashim, regarding a carbon that became invalidated, which was then redeemed. So then the person go ahead and eat that animal. But the pasuk says, Rak Adam Lo Techela, but you can't eat the blood of that animal. Al Or Teshpachen HaKamayim, on the ground you should spill like water. And then it says in our pasuk that the Gemara is quoting, Lo Techelenu, don't eat it, L'man Yitavloch, so that it should be good for you. Now, to teach us the law of the blood for the Psuli HaMakdashim, that's unnecessary, because we have many psukim already saying the Isra of Dam. So therefore, Rebbe goes and applies this pasuk, but basta b'chalav akas medaber. So therefore, what does it say when you shouldn't eat it? It's referring to when you have meat and milk that will cook together. Says Rebbe, ato ime b'basta b'chalav akas medaber. Is it really talking about the Isra of cooked meat and milk? Maybe it's referring to some other prohibited element that is forbidden in the Torah. How do you know it's referring to basta b'chalav? So Amrit, you're going to say, Sei ulamad miyud gimamidah shatar nidreshaben. Go out and learn from one of the 13 hermeneutic principles that the Torah has expounded with them, which one of them is a concept called davar halaman minyane, something that's learned out from the context, which is when you have something that's unspecified, which it doesn't tell you exactly what the pasuk is talking about, like over here, it says, Leit techalena, what is it referring to? Not blood, because that we already know. So rather, you learn out from the context what the parasha is talking about. From that context, you could learn out what it's referring to. Now, what is the pasuk talking over here? Bishnei minin, something that's two different species. Why? Because the pasuk, as we said, is talking about psuli hamakdashim sheniftu, a carbon kachim that were invalidated, that you can't use as a carbon anymore, that was redeemed. That carbon itself, that animal itself, is two different species. Why? Because on the one hand, it's permitted to eat like for a regular person, like chulin. On the other hand, it's forbidden to shear, to take off the wool, and to work that animal like kachim, as the Gemara says in Mecherz, Tazayin Manalv. The Pasuk says, Tizbach, you could slaughter it, but not to shear the wool. It says the basar you could eat, but not the chalav, not the milk. So in a sense, it's two different species. It's half kachem, half chulin, afkam b'shnei minim. So therefore, Davar L'Minyanei tells you that what's being prohibited here in Lo Ta'chalenu is also something that's two different species. What's that? That's basar b'chalav, two different things. So ask Rabbi Yechon to Rish Lakish, you already have a source, why you bring a different source? Says the Gemara, says Rish Lakish, no, imahi, had we learned that from the source of Rabbi, havamina, I would have said, hanimil v'chila. All I would know from this Lo Ta'chalenu is that, okay, a prohibited mixture of two different things, like basar b'chalav, is forbidden to eat. But I would think that maybe there's no problem about having benefit from it. Therefore, I have to bring my pasuk, which is tez by its prohibition in the context of the Korban Pesach. Now, just like the Korban Pesach, that when it's cooked, it's forbidden to eat and to have benefit from it. Why? Because any kachim, which is not appropriate to be eaten, the halacha is, it has to be left overnight, that its form is changed, and then it goes out to be burnt. Also, which means to say you can't have benefit. Also, over here, when it's saying regarding something that's forbidden that's cooked, which refers to basar b'chalav, it's also telling you isana, which you wouldn't know from Rebbe's source. So I asked the Gemara, so Rebbe ba'anom and ole, so where does he actually know that basar b'chalav also has a prohibition of benefit? Says the Gemara, nafkli mahacha. He learns it from a different source. Nemar Khan, it says over here in the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Ki am kodesh ata l'Hashem, because you're a holy nation to Hashem, which the end of the Pasuk says, Lo yisavashta gadli b'chalevim, or don't cook the kid in his mother's milk. So that Pasuk is referring to bas b'chalav. And v'nem l'halan, there's a Pasuk over there in Devarim that says, V'li yeh kodesh b'bnei Yisrael, there should not be a man that is established for promiscuity, for illicit relationships amongst the Jewish people. So both of them have the terminology of kodesh. Now, ma'ala halam ba'na, just like over there, it's referring to bia, to relations, and that's something about benefit, about pleasure. Afkam ba'na, also over here, therefore, when it's talking about ki'am kaddish, the prohibition of basar b'chalav, it's also talking about the prohibition of having pleasure, of having benefit, not only that of consumption. Another source, the Bei Rebbe Eliezer Tana, he says in the Pasuk in Devarim, one should not eat an animal that was not properly slaughtered, etc., which the end of the pasuk talks about basar b'chalav. Now, Amr Teir, what the Torah is telling you is kishetim kirena, when you're going to sell the animal, because in that context you have to sell that nevela if you're giving it to a non-Jew. So the pasuk there is talking about selling, and then it talks about the end of the pasuk when it says isur basar b'chalav. What it's teaching you is, Loi tevashlenu, don't cook that animal in milk, vitim karen, and sell it. Why not? Because obviously then it would be forbidden to sell it, because there's an isra na'ah in basar b'chalav too. That's what the Pasuk is telling. When it's talking about that, oi macher, or sell it, and it says that, oh, but don't cook it in its mother's milk, why not? Because then you won't even be able to sell it, because that's a benefit that you'd have, and there is the isra basar b'chalav even on hana. Another source for the halachas of Isra Achila and Hana, the Bei Shmuel Tana, Le'sevashta gadli b'chleivimo. It says the prohibition of not cooking kid in his mother's milk, gimel pam, three times in the Torah. And he says what that's coming to teach you is Echad le'Isra Achila, one saying there's a prohibition of eating, Ve'echad le'Hana, one saying the prohibition of benefit, Ve'echad le'Sebishlo, one's talking about the prohibition that the explicit words in the Torah says of cooking. Or another source, Tanya within the Braisa, Isa ben Yehuda Oim, he says, Minayin labasar b'chalav sha'asa. How do we know that a mixture of meat and milk is prohibited? So he says, because Nemar Khan, it says over here in the Pasuk, Kiyam Kodeshata, which there talks about basar b'chalav, because you're a holy people. V'nemar l'halan, says over there in the Pasuk in Shema'is, V'anshe kodesh tiyunli, and again, a holy people you should be for me, same idea, same kodesh, U'basar basad treifa lo'isachelu, and meat in the field that was torn, which the Isra of Treif, Olay Techil, you shouldn't eat it. Now, we learn out, Ma'ala Halim, also, just like over there by Treif, it says Kaddish. And it's forbidden. Afkan Asr, also over here, when it's talking about Basar B'chalav, it's also forbidden. Now, Ve'ilni El Bechila, I would only know regarding eating, which is the Halacha by Treif, that is the Isra of eating. And so too, regarding here, by Basar B'chalav. But Ba'anominayin, how would we know that there's an Isra of even having benefit, which is not the Halacha by Treif? Says the Gemara, says Isi Ben Yehuda, Amr Kavachim, you're going to say El Kavachim. Ma Arlo. Regarding the fruits of a tree in the first 3 years, which are considered orla, shloi nevdaba there, a person didn't do a sin, that's how you plant every tree. You just plant in the first 3 years, it's still going to be asur b'hana. Not only can you not eat those fruits of the first 3 years, but it's even forbidden to have benefit, even though one didn't commit a sin. So bas b'chalav shenevdaba avera, so regarding a mixture of meat and milk, which obviously a sin was done to make it, because the biblical isra of bas b'chalav was only when they were cooked together. So ain't the din shas b'na, so isn't the kavochemer that once you have this basar b'chalav that was a sin made it, for sure it's going to be forbidden to have benefit, kavochemer from arla. On that, the question is, but wait, Ma'ala Arla, how could you learn it from Arla? Shekein lahoysel shasa kasha. That's more stringent, that it never had a moment that it was prepared to be eaten, because the fruits of the Arla, from their inception, grew in a prohibited state. In contrast, by Basta B'chalav, they were both permitted before you had mixed and cooked the meat and the milk together, so maybe actually Basta B'chalav would not be prohibited in benefit. On that says, you see, no, Chametz B'Pesach Yichiach. The halacha of Chametz on Pesach will disprove this. So the Chametz before Pesach had a moment of permissibility, and yet still Vasabah, no, it's forbidden to have benefit, so therefore we'll say the same thing regarding Basta B'chalav. But then the question is, well, Mal Chametz B'Pesach, how can you learn regarding Chametz, leavened bread on Pesach, Shekein Onesh Karis? Well, you can't learn it from Pesach. Pesach is most severe. If one violates it, it's a punishment of Karis, in contrast to Basta B'chalav. Says Isi, okay, but Kla HaKem Yichichu. A forbidden mixture of seeds that are planted in the vineyard will disprove Shein Onesh Karis, where there, if one violates it, one does not get a punishment of dying at a young age, and still Vasabana, and still forbidden to have benefit, and therefore from all those three, you could learn now the common denominator, you can learn the same thing applies to the Issa Basa B'chalav, that is also going to have an Issa Hana, which the Gemara later on is going to ask, why did we have to come on to a third element of Klai HaKerem? Why couldn't we just have gone back to the original source that we're learning from and say, well, Arla will disprove that does not have an Issa Karis, and therefore just go back and forth, and between the two of them, you'd be able to know the Isra of Basa B'chalav of having an Isra Anah. Additionally, another question is that you could still say, well, just like Klai HaKerem didn't have a Shasa Kasher, so you're back to the same question like you had by Arla. So that's the source that EC says, you know it from Chametz B'Pesach, Arla and Klai HaKerem, that you find that those things have an Isra Anah, so too will apply to Basa B'chalav will have an Isra Anah. Although that, let's say, each one has an individual stringency more than Basa B'chalav, but still, you find that the other one does not have this stringency, and therefore, that will not refute the limud from Basa B'chalav from those things that it has a prohibition of benefit. But the Gemara asks, Lama li gzeira shava? Well, originally, Isi says, how do you know the Isser Achila? He says, you know from gzeira shava, where it says Kaidish over here, it says Kaidish by Treifa, just like over there, there's Achila also over here. Question is, let him learn the whole thing, including the Isra Achila, just like he learns the Isra Hanah from Arla, so too he should learn the Isra Achila from Arla. And you could say, Uma Arla, just like the fruits are between its first 3 years, Shalei Nevda Ba'avera, no sin was done in those prohibited fruits. Yet Asura Be'ma Achila Be'ma No, yet it's still forbidden to eat and to have benefit. So Basa B'chalav, so regarding a mixture of meat and milk, shenevda ba'aver, that it was made only by through sin, ena din sha'asa ben machila ben manah, isn't it a kavochem that should be forbidden in eating and benefit? Who needs the gzeir shava to say the issa achila? Says the Gemara, no, because if we didn't have the gzeir shava, mishum de ikal ha'mema, then you could say, chayush b'shara b'chamar. When one commits the sin of plowing with two different species of animals, like an ox and a donkey, or of a chasim pipar of a dashbo, if someone muzzles a cow or an animal when he's threshing with it, yechiach, that will disprove that, because shenevde behema aver b'sharu, there one committed a sin when he was doing this, and still the product is permitted to be eaten, and therefore I could also say that basa b'chalav, even though it was created through sin, maybe it actually would be permitted to be eaten. But now that we have a gzeir shava to say that there is an isra achila, because we learn from treifa, so then we could now learn the isra hanav from a kabel chaymer from arlo. And you can't say, well, wait a second, who said it has this hanav? You could disprove it from plowing a shur and the chamer together, because you could say no. When you're plowing a shur and the chamer together, there the eating is even permitted. In contrast, by Basa B'chalav, which is forbidden to be eaten, that won't disprove it to say that it should be permitted in benefit. And therefore, we would learn from the Kavel Chema, from Arla, and all those other ones, that it's going to have an Isser of Hana. But now the Gemara asks the question that we alluded to before. Lamali Lamema, why do we have to say before in Isi's teaching? Klaha Kerem Yechichu, that we said that, you know, how could you learn that from Arla? Arla has more of a stringency, that it's something that Basa B'chalav doesn't have, where it never had a Shasa Kaisha, so it's okay, learn from Chametz B'Pesach. It's like, how can I learn from Chametz B'Pesach? Chametz B'Pesach is more stringent, maybe therefore has this Hanah, because it has a Chiv Karas. So it's like, okay, don't worry, we can disprove that as if that's the main criteria from Klai HaKerem. But why do we have to come on to Klayim? So now you're learning out one thing from three. You're learning out Basa B'chalav from a common denominator of Arlo, Chametz, and Klayim. Lema Arlo Techiach. Why don't you say that Arlo will disprove that, and it doesn't have the stringency of Karis if one violates that sin. And then you'll be learning out one from two. And then, V'lahadra Dina, And then the logic will go back and forth, meaning you'll go back and you'll say, well, how can you learn from Arla? It doesn't have a shasa kashrus. And I'll say, okay, chametz will disprove that. But you'll say, how can you learn from chametz? It has karas. You'll say, okay, well, Arla will disprove it. It doesn't have karas. And then you learn out v'leisa b'mahatzad, and then you learn out from a common denominator of those two. You'll say, for example, that okay, the primary characteristic of Arla is not like the primary characteristic of chametz, and that of chametz is not like that of Arla. So you can't say that's the reason why there's Isha, no, because the other one doesn't have it. And you'll say that what's the common denominator is that they're forbidden to eat, and they have a prohibition of benefit, so to include basa b'chalav. Since it's forbidden to eat it because of the gzer shava, so too it's going to have an isra. But no, why do you need to go ahead and now bring in a third wheel, a third element, that of klaya kerem? So Amar Bashi says, the reason is mishum de'ikah l'meim nevel techiach, because if you didn't bring in klaya kerem, you'd be able to disprove the mahatzad from the laws of nevela. Why? Shasur b'achila, you can't say necessarily anything that's forbidden to be eaten has a forbidden prohibition of benefit, like you want to learn the Tabas b'chalav, because you could see by nevela where it's forbidden to eat it, umetaz b'ano, the Torah explicitly tells you it's permitted to have benefit, and therefore you couldn't learn it out from those two, you have to bring in klai akam. However, there is an element that we're going to explain shortly, but first the Gemara asks, which is part of this discussion, Amar Rav Mordechai l'Rav Ashi says, wait a second. Ha-charmina mishmei de Rish Lakish. This is, they said in the name of Rish Lakish, which therefore he's basically saying that this that you want to say why you needed the third element of Klai Kerem, because or else you're going to disprove the derivation through the law of Nevela, he says, no, that wouldn't be a refutation of the derivation. Because they said in the name of Rish Lakish, kol mahatzad, anytime you're learning out from a common denominator, migufei parchinan, you could only ask from the context itself. Meaning, if you're going to refute the derivation, you would only be if, let's say, by the common denominator of both of them, you'll say that both those things that you're trying to learn out from, they have this unique characteristic, in contrast to the thing you're trying to learn out from, which is not similar to those two. Only then can you ask a refutation. But me'alma, but from in general, like to say, oh, well, something else will disprove that, like you're trying to do it in Nevela, loy prachinon, we don't use that as a refutation. So therefore, ihachi, if that's the case, we're back to the question. Tesa b'ma'atzad, you should still learn out from a common denominator of Arla and Chametz, and this that you're saying, well, Nevela will disprove, you can't bring in some outer element that you're not learning out from and say that that should disprove the teaching. So why did you learn out from Arla and from Chametz and Pesach? It says the Gemara, mishum de'ikla mifrach. No, because you could refute as follows. Malatzad ha-shavah shebehen, because if you're learning out only from Orla and Chametz and Pesach, it wouldn't be a good derivation. Because you could say, what do we find by the common denominator of both Orla and Chametz? Shekein gedule karka, there are things that grow from the ground, which there's a kalayim, which the Orla which grows from the ground, and Chametz, wheat, grows from the ground. Now, although that's not an essential stringency, that there should be reasons why it's making it forbidden and benefit, but even so, we say such a thing, that there's still a difference between that and what you're trying to learn out from. And because of that, that's why we needed to go ahead and bring in the element of Klai Kerem. But on that, as the Gemara, Ihach, if that's the reason why you can't learn out from just Arla and Chametz on Pesach, so Hashtana Mekele Mifrach. I mean, now you could ask the same question. So good, you brought in Klai Kerem. That says, okay, it's not like Chametz and Pesach, it doesn't have karas, and yet it's still forbidden to have benefit. But Malak Klai Kerem Shekein Gedule Karka. Well, that's also something that grows from the ground. So now you're back to the question. So how do you know Basa B'chalav, which is meat and milk that doesn't grow from the ground? How you learn out this Isha from even all three of them? On that only Rav Mordechai l'Rav Ashi says, no. Hacher min mishmed Rish Lakish. This is the culmination of the statement of Rish Lakish, which qualifies exactly what he meant to say. Kol mahatzad, anything that's learned out from the tzad hashava, from the common denominator, and then you have something to refute that limud, that yalfusa, which the things you're learning out from, they share a common denominator, and the thing you're learning out to is not the same, then perchinin kolbehu, then the refutation could be even what it is, even if it's not a stringency or a leniency. You could ask it, like we mentioned, that idea that they all have this, that it has something to do with the ground, even though that's not a stringency. Then you could ask that. And that's what we said before, that you'd be able to refute it even if you're learning out just from those two of Arla and Pesach. However, when it's a concept of loy im amarta, no, if you're going to say, then we have this, if you're learning from that, then we have a problem with that learning, then kal v'chayim parchinon, then we only ask it if it's leniency or stringency, but kol dehu loy parchinon, but then just a generic, unrelated differential, that's not going to be a significant flaw in the yalfusa. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that If we're going to do what's called a hadr dina, which means to say we want to learn from this one. No, that has a stringency. Okay, let's learn from that one. No, you can't. So then we say, okay, so then let's go back and learn from the common denominator of both of them. That's hadr dina, go back to the other point, and then the common denominator of them. So then this is what we're saying, then the pericha, the refutation could be even called the who. It could be even no matter what it is. But that's what the Gemara is saying. The reason why we have to come on to Kalayim is now if you want to go ahead and say, wait a second, you're saying it can't be Arl itself. Fine, learn from Chametz HaPesach. No, it can't just be Chametz HaPesach. So we're learning from Kalayim, and then you still want to ask, as the Gemara was saying, Loi, no, Im Amarta, if you're going to say by Kalayim that it has this, no, Shekin Geduli Karka, because it grows from the ground, that's what Rish Lakish was saying. That's not a refutation of the Limud. Because then, when it's a Loi Amarta, then you need to come on to a leniency or a stringency. In other words, if the teaching is coming to teach a leniency, then you have to say, no, you can't learn it from that thing because as a leniency, because that's more lenient. Or if we're coming to learn a stringency, you would say, no, you can't learn from that thing. That thing is stringent because it has a certain stringency. Like when we said before, we said, oh, how can you learn from our law? It never had a shasa kasher. So maybe that's why it has the stringency of Isra no. And like Bechametz B'Pesach, we said, no, you can't learn from Bechametz B'Pesach. There's a punishment of Karis. But just any statement that it's different, like Gedulei Karka, that would not be refutation. And that's why it was significant to say the element of Klayim, because Klayim is in the Lo Yim Amarta. It's not from the Tzad HaShava. Tzad HaShava could be any refutation. Here it's when you're bringing this out to bring out a certain point, and you want to say, well, you can't learn from that. That wouldn't be enough with just a differential. You would have to say a certain stringency, which Klayim doesn't have. The fact that it's Gedulei Karka is not a stringency. But the Gemara asks and says, wait a second. Since this is not learning out one thing from another thing, rather, as we're explaining, it's one thing from three things, so the questioner assumes that that's the same thing. It's essentially a mahatzad. It's a tzad hashava. It's a tzad hashava of three things. So v'lifrich l'kulu, so then the question is back. So why did you ask from all of them? Malakulu shekin gedulei karka. All these three things are all things that have to do with growing from the ground. So although it's not a lean zero stringency, it shouldn't make a difference. Like you said from Rish Lakish, that a mahatzad, then you could ask even a pericha called who. Because the questioner assumes that when the Gemara was explaining Rish Lakish's statement, that by loy im amarta, that then you can't refute with just any difference, that's only, and this is what the question thought, when you're learning out one thing from another one thing. Like the way we started off the teaching, we wanted to learn out the Isra Na from Arla itself. That's where you would say that you have to have a significant stringency to say that why it's going to be different. But when you're learning out one from two or even one from three, so that's the same thing. It's a mahatzad, it's a common denominator. Then, even though we're not doing what's called a chazr hadin, because in this case, a klayim, as we're going to explain, there's no chazr hadin. It's not really, the problem is not with the common denominator. The problem is with we're going to have with, in other words, not from klayim itself that's the problem. To say, oh wait, what, klayim is different than these? That's not the element. It's actually from the common denominator. That then you could ask any pircha koldu, like you said, a mahatzad, you could ask any pircha. So now all three should have the same question of gedulei karka. So Ela Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, he explains, and essentially what the Gemara was attempting to say, Hachem Rin Mishmei Rish Lakish. This is what he said from Rish Lakish, and he finishes off the clarification as a ketintav of Kofte Zayim et Alf. Chad Mechada. I mean, learning out one thing from another one thing. Like we started off the sugya when we were saying that, okay, how do you know Isra Nobe Basam Chal? We know it from Erla itself. So that's like what we said, kula v'chumra parchina. Then you could only refute with a legitimate leniency, a legitimate stringency, depending if you're trying to learn the leniency or stringency. But kol du'ulai parchina, just any random difference, that's not enough. And therefore by arlo, we have to say, it didn't have a shasa kasher. It has a real stringency, and therefore you can't learn on basa b'chal v'esra anah. Chad mitarti, when you're learning a one from two, like we had responded in the previous Gemara, that we said, wait a second, you can't learn it from Arla because it didn't have a shasa kasher. So we brought proof from something else, and we said, well, Chametz B'Pesach will refute that, where it had a shasa kasher, it's still asabana. So then, afil kol du parchinan. Then even, no matter what the difference is, that could refute the limud, the teaching. In other words, had we not had a response of kula v'chumra, like we actually did respond, we said, well, you can't learn from Chametz B'Pesach because it has a legitimate stringency of Karis. Let's say we would have had just a random response to show something that's in common of those two things, we would have responded like that. Even though it's not a Chazra Din, even though it would not have taken us back to the Tzad HaShava, once we're learning it from two things, we could have said just, okay, there's something unique about Pesach with Chametz and regarding Arlo. And even though it's not as stringent, we would have said, now you can't learn that bas of chal from there. But chad and mitlas, when you're learning a one from three, and that's all along what we're trying to explain, why didn't the teaching just go right back to Arla? Why are we introducing a third element of klayim? Like in this case, where we say klayim echichu, here's where the difference is with the concept that we're saying. Ihadr dina, if the logic has to go back, va'asi b'mahatzad, and then you have to learn from a common denominator. In other words, if we would have had a response of what we call kula or chumra, which we would have responded that you can learn that from klayim. Klayim has a unique stringency. It has this and this astringency. So then we would have to go back and say, well, that can't be the reason why it's asabana, because Pesach or Orla doesn't have that stringency. Then prachina kolduhu. Then you're right. Then you'd be able to ask any difference, whatever it is, on the common denominator and say you can't learn abasa b'chal from there. But v'iloi, but as long as there's no what's called hadr dina, there's no unique stringency of klayim that we should say, oh, that's why has this ana, and then we have to prove from chametz and pesach and Orla that they don't have that. It doesn't have anything. So therefore, kula v'chumra prachinan. So therefore, the only thing you could ask is if regarding the mahatzad is if do you have a unique, is there a stringency or a leniency, but kol dehu le prachinan. But even if they all share a common difference from bas b'chal from what you're learning to, that cannot be refutation. And like Rashi says, these are the laws that are given down in the tradition from Sinai regarding the limudim of mahatzad. That is, that's why we said we want to learn out from one from three, not one from two. Because if you're learning one from two, you could always ask, even if it's not a hadadina, you could go ahead and ask, what's the difference? There's even if it just has to do with going from the ground, that would be refutation of the limud. But when you're introducing a third thing, then if it's on the hadr dina, then you could have a pircha koldu. But if not, like here, you don't have a hadr dina to come to the mahatzad. You're just showing that it's not the uniqueness of chametz b'pesach regarding the chiv karis, because klayim doesn't have that. But it's not like, oh, but klayim has something that you can't learn from there, you have to go back. That doesn't exist. And it's just helping out regarding the mahatzad. That is where you can't have a kol d'uprachinan. You would have to have a stringency that they have. And we don't have that they all have three astringency over basa b'chalab. You only have a kol duhu, a pircha, which is okay, so they get duly karkat, have something to do with growing the ground. That's not sufficient, and therefore that is ultimately, we know the limud, according to this interpretation, of the isanah, but basa b'chalab, from the mahatzar of these three things, of Orla, Chametz B'Pesach, and Klein.